This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
Welcome in, Doug Marrone Show. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marrone. What's up, coach?
All right.
Here we go.
Yep. News.
Yeah. Back home. That's the news.
Yeah, it is. It is. We're excited. Yeah. But it's been like, you know, feels like it's been forever. You know what I'm saying?
It has been forever.
It's been a long time.
It probably feels a little more extended because of the travel to New England to practice with them in Houston for 4 days, come home, and obviously things aren't getting quite back to normal for most people. And then you go to London, and then you go to New York, and then you go to Pittsburgh. It's like, wow.
An actual game in this stadium.
I still have I have a bag packed. It was just like natural. You know, you just didn't think it was going to happen. But, we're excited about being home, you know, obviously. And, you know, we've talked to the players about, you know, again, I've said this numerous times about earning the right, you know, for home field advantage. And, you know, we've got to play well at home. And it's something that, you know, we discussed as a team. And, we're excited about going out there Sunday against a very good football team.
You go all the way back to high school football, which I think is probably the first experience that most guys have ever had with playing on the road. You know, you always have your goals. You know, a lot of coaches have that chart up on the wall, and, you know, you got team goals, you know, winning home, and then, you know, points allowed each game and all those kind of things. And always right there at the top, you know, on those goals, it was win the games at home.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think when you go back through and you do the studies of playoff teams, you know, the one thing about playoff teams, the average record at home is 6-2, you know, so they're winning, you know, a bunch of games at home, and that's one of the things you have to do. And, you know, the goal going into the season, pretty much everywhere I've been, you know, the head coaches I've worked for is, hey, let's win all the home games and split them on the road. You know, I've heard that, you know, many times. Me, I'd rather try to win every game, you know what I'm saying, and not try to do that. But, you know, that's basically the formula, because it is difficult in this league to win. And, you know, our team has showed that they can win on the road in hostile environments now. You know, obviously the first game of the year with Houston, and obviously going to Pittsburgh, which is a difficult place to win. And then, you know, now the next challenge for us is to show that, you know, we have a home field advantage and we can win at home.
The mindset of your football team now, coming off a big win in Pittsburgh, how do you manage this, the mindset of the team coming back home against this is a good Rams football team coming in?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you look at all the things that are being written, and the Rams are picked to win now the NFC West, and, you know, they have a lot of talent on in all three phases, really, when you look at them. They're playing extremely well right now. They have a high level of confidence. And, you know, at the same point, you know, for us, I just – the way I went about it this week was, you know, hey, listen, we haven't accomplished – you know, anything. We're in the second quarter. We had a good start, and we need to make sure that, you know, we keep this, you know, whatever it is, whether it's the chip on our shoulder, whether it's the killer type instinct, whatever it is, you know, we've got to make sure that that's part of our demeanor when we go out there and play. So, you know, I think that's important because it goes back to the beginning, you know, and you never, you know, for the coach, you never want to get too high, you never want to get too low, but it's important to bring the team back. You know, either bring them up or bring them back, but you want to keep them in the middle. So, you know, that's a constant work in progress. I think our players have done a good job of that. I really do. And now it's just a matter of going out there and performing.
Does having guys like Barry Church, Calais Campbell, guys that you brought in that have a veteran presence around them, and combining them with guys that are wearing the C, a Mercedes Lewis, a Paul Posluszny, a Telvin Smith, Brandon Linder, that has to help.
Well, I think from a standpoint, you know, I kind of spoken to those players that you just mentioned and other players on the team about, you know, and obviously the players that have been here before about, you know, how difficult it is to win games in this league. I think the older players realize that. You know, when you've been around this league, you understand how difficult it is to, whether you're going on the road or you're playing at home, but it's difficult to win games. But, you know, and I was, you know, I'm relying on those players to make sure that they talk to, you know, now we have some younger players now that have been very successful in college, you know, that have come in here and that are a big part of what we're trying to do. And, you know, they're just thinking, well, hell, this is not that hard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, now I don't know if they're thinking that. I shouldn't say that. But I get concerned about that if they are. So we try to make a point to make sure that everyone understands it's very difficult to win in this league.
You talked earlier in the week about how much joy, pleasure you get out of watching a Cam Robinson, his demeanor on the field, the way he handles himself. And obviously he's still young. He's got a lot to learn yet. And then a guy like a Leonard Fournette. I'm not talking about so much the productivity, but the way he carries himself and the way he handles himself, it almost appears that he has a little bit of that leadership in him as well. And it's very rare to find a rookie that has those traits.
I think they do. And it reminds me of a story, and I'm going to share it with you and everyone else that's listening, is that, you know, one time I was in New Orleans and I had forgotten toothpaste or something, and I'm like, and we were getting ready to leave, getting ready to fly out.
As a player or as a coach?
As a coach.
Okay.
So I'm driving to this, you know, whatever it is, you know, the drugstore, or CVS or Walmart, whatever it may be. So I drive there, and I park, and I look to the left, and I see a bunch of kids playing in a park, and they're playing football. And I remember I just kind of stopped and I kind of looked over. There was no coaches, you know, and I just saw the joy of those kids competing against each other, and you know, the way they were running, the way they were working, the way they were talking to each other, and I remember then I went in, you know, bought the toothpaste, got back out, went on a plane. I'm thinking, you know, where did this change? You know, where did this change, you know, for players? You know, why can't we go out there and remember how we played this game when we were young, where nobody was around, no one's watching, there weren't any coaches, and we just truly loved the game? And I think, you know, that memory will last with me, you know, for a lifetime. And that's something that I look for, you know, in players when they go out there and play.
It's like the Holy Grail when you find it, though. That's tough to find in players. You know?
It is. I think nowadays, you know, you get to, you know, you have things, you know, you hear words like branding and things of that nature. And, you know, where's the joy of just going out there and just enjoying being around a bunch of your teammates, you know, playing for each other, a love for the game that's given us so much, and going out there and performing.
Speaking of the kids.
I'm down right now.
I know.
I'm down right now.
We gotta get you
I know.
Back.
I got to get back up.
Really back
I just put myself in that moment. I'm thinking,
in.
You know, because I think for me as a coach, that's what I'm looking for. I want the kid. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know I'm coaching professional football players and I'm coaching players that make a lot of money. I know all that stuff. That's fine. But where's that kid? Where is that kid that just jumps up there? And I think to Jeff's point, I see that a little bit with Cam. I see that a little bit with Leonard. You know, I see that a lot, you know, with other players too on our team. You know, and it's just one of the things that I look for that I, you know, it's a moment when you can just go out there and play, you know, and just play. And there's not anything else going on. So, you know, that's my love. That's what I love. I love the sport, and I love what it can do for you.
All right. So one of the things that I loved watching in Pittsburgh was when Leonard Fournette bounces to the outside, and here comes Mike Mitchell. And just like they do in the playground, you got a little wave on.
Yeah, everyone.
No, am I bringing you back down again?
No, I'm just saying, okay, well, why can't we just make him miss and score a touchdown? You know, I'm thinking of that. Where and you know, and I understand it. I think that's one of the things. I think, you know, when you played and you've done things, you can understand that. And, you know, other players rallied around that. They enjoy that. You know, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we want to be a physical football team, but we also want to be a smart team. It's like, you know, the run at the end of the game, you know, as he's running by, I'm screaming, go down, go down, go down. You know, and I'm like, I don't have a shot at this one.
Down.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
not going to get that.
You're not going to get that. He's going to take it to the house. But, you know, that's – you know, I don't ever hold a player back. If that's something that's going to get them going, as long as it doesn't hurt the team, I'm fine with it.
All right, so as a coach, okay, can you be a judge here for a minute? You know, ex-player judge. Mm-hmm. Now, from a defender standpoint, if I got a running back that kind of weighs me up and I take him down on the spot, I won.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now if – guy waves me up and I come up and he makes me miss, then he would win.
Yeah. If he runs you over.
Or
you know
if he runs me over,
and
he
gets
wins.
Yardage, yeah, he wins.
If he gets yardage,
yeah, I think sometimes if you make a miss, sometimes that might be taking the easy way out if we're talking about Oklahoma drills.
Calling
you know what
out
saying?
Him, like juking.
Yeah, I mean, we would run Oklahoma drills, and the reason why they put those, we used to always say, the reason why they put those dummies real close is so you can't go around. You got to go through somebody. Yeah, so I understand that part of it.
I get you. In fact, you jogged a memory because you'll know this guy that I'm going to bring up. We didn't have Oklahoma drill when I was in high school, believe it or not, which is crazy to think of,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is.
The first Oklahoma drill I ever experienced was when I got to Virginia. And I was a, you know, green freshman, you know, strapping 210 pounds, 6'5", 210, maybe 215.
I know where this is going right now.
Okay. And I had to go against a fifth-year senior, and it was Jim Dombrowski. Jim Dombrowski, by the way, was a first-round pick of the Saints. You know Jim.
Yeah, I know him very well.
So it wasn't a very good matchup for me, but
probably,
I won.
Probably back then in the day, probably not, but now.
But I won.
Exactly. Why?
Hit him in the mouth.
Hit him in the
threw
mouth.
Threw him aside.
I know. I got a question last night. They're like, you know, philosophy and everything. I said, look, I just know just punch him in the mouth. You know what I'm saying? Not literally, but you know what I'm saying? Move the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? Get, you know, hit them before they hit you. Be the hammer, not the nail.
Do you have any memorable Oklahoma drills of players you went against that just...
Well, I remember I learned a good tip. I was in Miami. Coach Shula was very big. The first day of practice was Oklahoma drills, and it was all staged. So, you know, before we went out to that practice, you had to look to see where you were, and they matched people up and all of that nature. And I remember the first day I go out there, and when you're going against – and I was a guard center at the time, and you're going against linebackers, there's room in between. So it's – for me, you know, it was difficult for me to stay down low throughout the whole thing. So I'd come out, and I'd start getting high, and those linebackers would be hitting me right under my chin. I'm like, gosh, I'm getting my ass – busted, you know what I'm saying? So John Sandusky, who is my line coach, who I still say to this day is one of the greatest coaches. John has passed, but one of the greatest, greatest offensive line coaches. So the next day he said, hey, listen, I want you to do this. I want you to try to just, you know, touch the grass before you hit them, you know, before you go into the block. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get killed. He's like, look, just try it. What do you have to lose? You're getting your butt kicked now already, so just try it. And I'll never forget. So I come out of my stance, I touch the ground, and I hit that linebacker on a rise, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is unbelievable.
It worked.
It worked. I'm like, great coach.
This is fun.
great coaching. Yeah, I'm like, so now I'm like, hey, when are we going to do those Oklahoma drills again?
Let's go back and see how the Jags match up against the Rams offense. A lot of weapons on that side for one of the best offenses in football. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a challenge. I mean, just kind of how they move him around, even run him on wheel routes, get him the ball in space. Very tough guy to tackle. I mean, you definitely have to wrap him up. So he's going to definitely present a challenge for our defense, but I think we'll be ready.
Miles Jack, linebacker, discussing Todd Gurley.
I figured that one out.
Leading rusher, of course, and leading receiver on this team. 22 catches, 241 yards through the air. That's second only to Robert Woods in yardage on their football team. So they use him all over the field here, and there's a good reason why. He's a good football player.
He's an outstanding football player. I think that, you know, obviously he has a great jump cut. He can jump in and out when you see the holes. He can actually jump cut, make another cut, and still get into the secondary, which is the things that you see on film. I think that, you know, obviously we're well aware of his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. But the difference, you know, with Gurley is that he can take it vertical, you know. And I think, you know, I know Miles mentioned the wheel route, but he could just come right out of the backfield and run a seam. So he's a very, very dangerous player, one that has, you know, explosiveness in him. And again, like Miles said, you know, it's going to be a great challenge for our defense of being able to not only stop him, but there's other weapons on that side of the ball.
For the last number of years, the offensive line for the Rams has been a trouble spot. And they added John Sullivan last year. Andrew Whitworth this year. Roger Saffold seems to find a little bit of a home at left guard. You know, from the center over to the left tackle, that side's playing very well. They've got a couple of young players on the right side, but as a whole, that group looks much improved than the last time I watched the Rams.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, you bring in, you know, two players, you know, two veteran leaders, you know, with the center and Whitworth at left tackle, and, you know, they're both playing well, and Saffold is obviously a first-round pick who's played five positions, but, you know, really looks to be comfortable in there at left guard, and, you know, the right side's coming along, and they're playing well, and I think but the main reason, you know, at the end of the day, the quarterback for them is playing extremely well. So, you know, and there's so many things that you have to be able to stop, you know, that you're challenged with, whether it's the receivers, the back, you know, running game, passing game, screen game, quick game, you know, gadget plays with Austin. I mean, there's a lot going on. So, you know, and like Miles said before in that little shot right there, you know, it's going to be a great challenge for our defense and one we've been working hard on.
The wide receivers, two out of the three that are starters, you know them. I mean, Sammy Watkins was your first-round pick last year in Buffalo. Robert Woods was there as well. And from watching the tape, Watkins isn't as highly targeted as some of the other wide receivers. But the guy that's really impressed me the most is Robert Woods because, one, he's not afraid to block and to be a physical blocker. Mm-hmm. And he's not afraid to go across the middle, and he's a good wide receiver.
No, it was interesting. I think the story was I know what the story is. I mean, what happened was is we when we went out there, and I believe we were working out Matt Barkley. I think that's – we were working out the quarterback, and we said, hey, listen, can you get a couple of receivers there, you know, to work out with you? And we went out this is when I was in Buffalo, and we went out there, and Robert Woods was the only receiver out there. And he caught every pass and just – I'm talking about a workout now. I'm just went at it and everything. So when we walked off the field, I remember, you know, Buddy Nix was the GM at the time, and we were all talking. And we had knew about Robert, obviously, but, you know, we didn't expect him to be at that workout. And we walked off the field, and we're like, hey, listen, you know, this is the type of guy we want on our football team, you know, because of all those reasons. He's tough, runs good routes. You know, plays with a chip on his shoulder, very aggressive, very tough, has good hands, can play special teams, can do a lot of things to contribute, and that became a major factor in us drafting him in Buffalo.
Stole the show, he did.
Well, no, I mean, we like the quarterback like did a nice job, too, but right. At the end of the day, when there's only one wide receiver there and he's running every single route, and you're like, hey, you need a break, he's like, no. You know, and we're like, whew, this guy can go.
Sure. The other guy that's kind of surprising, Cooper Kupp, who was a third-round pick, and I didn't know anything about him. I was just seeing number 18 make a lot of really nice plays, and most importantly at the end of the Seattle game last week in which Jared Goff has an opportunity to win that game. There were two instances where he looked at the rookie to win the game, which is kind of rare for a quarterback to gain confidence in a young football player. But, I mean, Cooper Kupp is a – excellent football player, Eastern Washington, I think.
Eastern Washington, yep.
And then I did a little research, and he is like the all-time FCS leader in receptions, yards, and everything else. I mean, this guy's a good football player.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, we did a lot of work on him coming out, and we had a lot of respect for him. And, you know, we had him obviously on the board and, you know, did a lot of work on him. So we knew what type of player he was, and I think that, you know, one of the most important things when you come in this league, and especially when you're a skilled player, is to develop a trust with the quarterback. And I think that's what you're talking about, Jeff, that you can see that there's a trust between, you know, the quarterback and Kupp. You know, obviously, you know, when the game's on the line or, you know, it's a third down or in situations that he has no issue at all going to him. So, you know, he's another one of those weapons, you know, and, you know, Woods is out there and Watkins is out there and the tight ends are out there. Everett's a deep threat, you know, Gurley's coming out of the backfield. So, you know, we've done a good job in the past, but the past doesn't matter. We've got to be able to be up for the challenge this Sunday.
When we return, we'll flip it over. Donald, Quinn, just to name a couple on the Rams defense.
Ogletree.
You want to keep going?
Johnson. Yeah, we can keep going.
Well, we'll come back and get into it. How about that? Rams defense, how does the Jags offense match up? This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Well, I mean, when you're running for 200-plus yards, it's, you know, maybe we can keep running it and they can keep adding people to the box. But eventually, you know, you're going to have to throw it. Eventually, you're going to have to beat people throwing the ball, you know, because you can only block so many guys. So we know that. We understand that. You know, we're obviously going to continue to try and find ways to run the ball, even against loaded boxes. But we're going to have to be good when we get the opportunity to throw the ball down the field and work off of the play action and stuff like that.
Blake Bortles, Jags quarterback, earlier this week. The Doug Marone Show continues. J.P. Shattuck, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marone. That's the challenge now with a run game that's number one in the National Football League. You're going to face loaded boxes all the time. That's just part of the deal, right?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Seems like.
It seems like. And I think that most of the time in this league, it's, you know, down in distance and what you're going to get and, you know, the way people are going to play. Obviously, you know, we're going to get a little bit more, but I think Blake's right on the money when he says, hey, listen, you know, we understand that. And, you know, when we have the opportunities to make the throws down the field and play action and things of that nature, you know, we've got to win and take advantage of it because, you know, obviously that'll help our football team win.
You have a huge challenge this week. Aaron Donald, who is a defensive tackle, was a first-round pick for them back in 2014 out of Pittsburgh, who, you know, when I remember when he was coming out, there was a big concern about height weight. You know, a 6'1", 280-pound guy, could he hold up? Well, I mean, he's gone beyond holding up. I mean, 29 sacks in his young career, which he's in his fourth year. And I went back and watched the Dallas film because many people say, okay, well, Dallas has the best offensive line in football. And I watched him on both guards, Cooper and their right guard, who is, you know, Zach Martin's. Many people think he's the best guard in football, and Aaron Donald was a monster.
Yeah, he's a monster on a lot of guards. You know, and I've obviously I've experienced with him when I was the head coach at Syracuse, and we played against him when he was at Pitt, and he was a heck of a player at Pitt. I think he's actually a much better pro player, you know what I'm saying, now. I mean, he's really taken his game up to where he's, you know, the top interior lineman, if, you know, one of them at least. I mean, you know, he's in that conversation for sure. I just think he does a lot of things well. He's built low to the ground. He has excellent quickness. Has real good hand usage. You know, very difficult to double team because he can, you know, flip his hips, get in the hole, break it. He can beat you off the ball. I think that he can, you know, pass rush extremely well. He can also, you know, in his power game, you know, he can knock you back and then shed you and get to the quarterback. So there's really not a lot of weaknesses in his game, and I think that's what happens. People look at all the intangibles, you know, maybe he's not big enough, maybe he's not this, but he's a heck of a football player and productive as hell.
Yeah, there's a lot of players, you know, that I've watched through the years, and I think this term would probably describe him, and interested in your take on it. But, you know, when you talk about that quickness and that strength, the combination of those two, the way he executed, he's violent. And it's not a violent as far as like he's hitting guys and being dirty or anything like that, but just the way he moves is violent.
Violent with his hands, violent, you know, he's always attacking the line of scrimmage, which I always look for. I think, you know, he's not a lateral type guy. He's a guy that's going to, you know, get in the backfield and cause some problems. And he's a challenge because he's a player. You know, it's you know, those inside guys, and we've seen it ourselves. I mean, Calais, you know, did a nice job, obviously, in the first game. Those guys can take over a game, you know, and they really can. And, you know, you really got to do a good job of holding up and game planning them. And it's a little bit more difficult game planning the interior lineman than it is the outside lineman.
All right, Coach, time to defend the bank. Good luck to you this weekend, and let's continue this second quarter of the season.
I appreciate
it.
Let's go. Let's get another one back-to-back.
Sounds like a plan. Doug Marone, Jaguars head coach, joining us. This is the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
J.P. Shattuck, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marone out of here. The Doug Marone Show continues. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their five convenient lots. Tickets start at just $8, and you can use it this Sunday when the Jags return to Everbank Field for the first time since week two. It's been a while, Logs. We were discussing defense with Coach Marone just a moment ago.
Did you catch his comment about Aaron Donald? And he says, you know, you can kind of game plan a little bit more for a defensive tackle than you can for somebody else, which a lot of people say, okay, well, what do you do to handle a great player like that? Well, you slide the protection to him. So you could potentially have, you know, 2-on-1 on Aaron Donald. And it's a great concept, and you want to be able to execute it. But, you know, the Cowboys tried to do some of that too.
Yeah.
And he can split a double team better than any defensive lineman in the league, and that's going to be the challenge. I mean, this is a huge challenge for Patrick Omame and also A.J. Cannon. I think, you know, Aaron Donald lines up more as a right defensive tackle, so he's going to see a Patrick Omame more than he would an A.J. Cannon. But when they go to their nickel sub situations, look, they'll move him anywhere. So if they feel like they've got a better matchup against A.J. Cannon, they may move him over there. Or if they like the matchup against Patrick Omame, he's going to stay where it seems that he's most comfortable at, which is as a right defensive tackle. But make no bones about it, this is a John Randall type, Warren Sapp type. I mean, he's
that good.
He is a big time player, and there's not a lot of defensive linemen that I would say that are worth the price of admission. And to go to the game, get your popcorn, and bring your binoculars and watch one player. He's that type of a player. In fact, he's going to be my feature on Film Room Friday. Imagine that.
Why you brought it up?
Well, I didn't bring it up because of that. But I mean, he really is fun to watch. And you know, a few years ago, I remember watching Robert Quinn, who was a high draft pick himself. He was a first round pick back in 2011.
Absolutely.
And I think it was in 2012 that we were in St. Louis for the game against the Rams, and I remember that was kind of the end of the Blaine Gabbert era. He didn't show a whole lot of courage in that game from what I remember, if I'm recalling accurately.
So 12 or 13?
I think it was 12.
Well, the 13 was the year
or 13.
Joko broke his leg, remember?
Then that's probably what it was. Yeah. And
Blackman had a long touchdown on
that's
a short pass. Yeah.
The thing that I remember about that game was leading up to it, I remember watching the tape on Robert Quinn saying he is right now the best edge rusher in the league. I mean, he had speed. He could bend the corner. He could play 2 feet off the ground because there's not a lot of guys that can do that, to have the ability. We always use this term bend, you know, from defensive ends. And he was a tremendous player. Now, I haven't really watched Quinn much, hardly at all, because, you know, look, they're an NFC team. Unless, you know, the Jaguars are playing them or there's common opponents, you just don't see them on film. And so go back and watch Robert Quinn for the last three games. I'm shocked. He's not the player that I remember watching back in 12 or 13, whenever that game was.
Yeah,
he's still a good player, but he's not that player that you just go, oh my, this guy is unbelievable. He's a pretty good player. Not like, oh my. You know, the oh my ones now are really good.
Right.
But Quinn's not in the oh my category anymore.
He's dropped from the oh my to the, oh, okay.
He's pretty good. But now Alec Ogletree, the inside linebacker,
yeah,
a really good football player. He was good back then, and he's still good now.
Leads the team in tackles, in fact, in Los Angeles. Brandon Linder's been on the injury report again this week with the illness. Still, he missed last game. Shatley came in, played well, obviously, in the win. He's still on the report this week. He has been on the practice.
And I will say this, and I said this Monday night on the television show, that it's a lot easier as an offensive lineman, okay, when you're coming and subbing for somebody, when you can run the football as much as they did and only throw the ball 15 called plays. So it was actually 14 attempts that Blake Bortles had in that game, one scramble, so it was 15 call plays. You know, and if you're an offensive lineman and you're subbing for a guy, is that not a dream situation to have?
Just go right
when the defense
ahead.
Gets five, you know, interceptions, and then you're running the football all the time. So for Tyler Shatley, who, you know, he's a strong guy, the weight room strong, play strong, a perfect scenario for him.
See if they can replicate. That
but I,
this
but
week.
I'm, you know, you're kind of concerned. You know, what's going on with Brandon Linder.
Sure.
And, you know, look, we're not hearing anything on it. We get what the injury report says. That's all the information that we get. I hope he's okay.
He was in the locker room today during the open media time.
He's a good football player.
So we'll see if he can get back.
And here's the other thing. I remember going back to the Aaron Donald draft, which was 14. And prior to the draft, I watched a lot of Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. And he was a really good player then. But I was like probably most people, and okay, he's really good, but you're kind of concerned, you know, the length. He's not a long guy. He's 6'1", 280. And then after the draft, the Jaguars draft Brandon Linder. And so I watching Brandon Linder, and I'm watching his Senior Bowl practices, which I didn't think he had a very good Senior Bowl. And so then I went back and started watching him, his college tape, and wanted to watch him against some of the other guys that were highly touted.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Aaron Donald was one of them. And Linder blocked his tail off in that game, Miami against Pittsburgh. I thought Linder, and when I saw that, it made me concerned about the length of Aaron Donald, but then it also confirmed to me that the Jaguars drafted a good one in Brandon Linder.
Yeah, got the right pick in for sure. The defense is on a feeding frenzy. We'll break that down when we return. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Even when one person was out, we always watch film on the other person, see how they play and see how we can match with that. I know I did, and I'm a firm believer in chemistry. That helps with any team, and I believe it's starting to show not only on defense but even on our offense and special teams when we're rolling and getting that momentum. And even when we're not getting that momentum, we try to find a spark, and I believe it brings everybody together.
A.J. Boye, Jaguars corner earlier this week in the Jags locker room. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. The Doug Marrone Show continues. That group had a day last week. Five interceptions, franchise best day, in fact. And
Can I disagree with one thing that A.J. Boye said there?
What do you got?
Just that he's talking about chemistry. You know, you can tell that we got chemistry, and he mentioned that the offense has chemistry.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
okay, and yeah, depends on what part you're talking
about.
Yeah,
let's, you know, you got to see a little bit more of an effective offense throwing the football to complement what has been a very good running football team to say that the offense has got chemistry.
But the question presented to him was in the preseason, in the training camp, they weren't on the field together, the secondary at all, really, until
no, they
the
weren't
very
at all,
end.
Which is amazing.
And they've come together quick.
And that's, you know, look, we're kind of going, you know, and one of my big concerns, we talked about it numerous times, was that, look, these guys haven't played together. Are they going to be okay? Well, yeah, they're okay. But, I mean, I had good reason to be concerned because typically players that don't practice together don't play well together. And so I think it's even that much bigger of an accomplishment because they have been able to do what they've done so far without being together in OTAs and the mini camps and training camp. And I don't think they were ever on the field together for one practice, I don't even think, which is truly amazing. Look, they're playing really well. They've got a challenge this week.
Yep.
You know, there's been a lot made from the Rams' perspective about Sammy Watkins, where they orchestrated a trade with Buffalo to get him this year. He was the fourth overall pick back in 2011. Fast football player, and I like Mike Evans better in that draft because I remember watching a lot of Sammy Watkins and actually thought that Allen Robinson was better at the quick screens on the outside than Sammy Watkins. So I kind of am curious as to why Sammy Watkins, you know, is concerned about getting the ball because he's got one catch in the last two games, one. But if you look at his performance, he's okay. I mean, we're not talking about Jerry Rice. We're not talking about James Lofton here. You know, he's a good player. He's not a great player. And until you can become a great player, then you might not want to comment about, you know, getting the ball or whatever. And he's been pretty good so far, Sammy Watkins. But he's made an issue about it before, as he did when he was in Buffalo. And, you know, I think everybody's kind of curious, how long will it be before he becomes a problem with the St. Louis Rams? Because here's the facts. The facts are this. Jared Goff is a young quarterback.
Yes.
And young quarterbacks are going to throw the ball to who's open and who he's trust. He's no different than a veteran quarterback. And here's the target percentage. Okay, the number one targeted receiver for the Rams on all downs is Tyler Higbee, the tight end, young player, second-year player. Mm-hmm. The second most targeted is the rookie wide receiver that we talked with Doug Marrone about, Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
So Higbee is at 22.3%. Cooper Kupp is at 21.5% target percentage. In third is Todd Gurley at 21.0.
Right.
In fourth is Robert Woods at 18.1%. And in fifth place is Sammy Watkins at 13.7. That's a significant drop.
Sure it is.
You know, from Robert Woods at 18.1 to 13.7 for Sammy Watkins.
I got news for you. I'd keep throwing the ball to Gurley as well.
He's a great back, and I mean,
and the other two guys, if they're going to make plays, they'll be open.
I think the most impressive thing though is that last year the Rams were really bad on offense, really bad.
And now they're fifth in the league in passing.
And there were a lot of people that were concerned that were experts, so-called experts, that said, look, did they make the right selection selecting Jared Goff number one overall? Well, it looks to be pretty smart right now. He's I think 12 in quarterback rating in the league. He seems to have some accuracy. He seems to anticipate things. He can make some tough throws. I like what he's done. But most importantly is the job that they've been able to do, because as bad as they were last year, and obviously I think coaching has a lot to do with it. Jeff Fisher's style of coaching was a lot different. But they were averaging 14 points a game last year. 14 points a game. Now they're averaging 30.4 points a game.
That's a change.
Is Sean McVay, their young head coach, who is considered an offensive guru under Washington? I always want to go with his brother, Jay. I always want to say John, but it's Jay Gruden in Washington. And he's very young now. What is he, 31? He got the job when he was 30. Now he's 31. He's got 8 years of NFL coaching experience under his belt. You know, he's got some lineage, though. His grandfather was John McVay, who was the longtime general manager of the 49ers back when they were winning Super Bowls like every year back in the Joe Montana and Steve Young era. But they've done a tremendous job with changing that offense from what it was last year to where it's at this year, and I think some of the free agency acquisitions, the coaching, et cetera, and the growth of Jared Goff has had a lot to do with that.
Don't forget quarterbacks coach Greg Olsen with the Rams. How about that?
He's been around the block a long time.
He's worked with a lot of different guys. So he's working with Jared Goff now. We'll come back, and let's get into Fournette's day last week and what could he do anything better in the run game. Fournette.
Could he? He could have made Mitchell miss.
Yeah, okay. We'll start with that. Are there any missing yards out there? We'll come back and discuss. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
That's just us, man. That's our attitude. He wasn't sending no message to the offense because that's how we are. That's our attitude. I think he was more so trying to send a message to the defense. That, this is how we play. Hard nose, physical, and, we ain't running from no contact or nothing like that.
Cam Robinson, left tackle, when asked about the Fournette wave of the safety. That's how we play. That's
Mike
how they want to play.
Mike Mitchell won that, by the way.
Did he win?
I'm going to say
you
it again.
You think so?
Yes.
They got a first down. What are you talking about? Hold on. Time out. Fournette stiff-armed a guy. Dupree, I believe.
Yes, it was great stiff-arm.
Got outside.
Yes.
Got
upfield. I'm not talking about the play as a
safety
whole.
Over.
The play as a whole was a win for the Jaguars.
And then fell forward after he
But
got
the
hit.
Individual matchup within the play, which was Mike Mitchell against Leonard Fournette, Mike Mitchell wins.
He went low, though.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter to you?
That's being smart. You're not going to take Leonard Fournette up high, okay, if you've got any sense at all.
I agree.
Okay, and we're watching it now.
Yeah, on Jaguars.com.
Okay.
It was a first down. He went forward like 2 yards.
He got the first down, but, I mean, Mike Mitchell, I mean, he put it. I mean, look, if you're a defensive coach and you're going, we want to show you how to tackle Leonard Fournette.
How about the one early in the game? He ran over him.
But he got tackled.
We got a first down there, too.
Well, Mike
tackled
Mitchell,
him 10 yards
Mike Mitchell
down the field.
Is a safety.
Congratulations.
JP. Okay, but the design of the defense is that Mike Mitchell's not going to make tackles, okay, at the line of scrimmage on those plays because he's playing from back off. But, look,
all right.
Leonard Fournette is a phenomenal player. Love him. He reminds me, the way he's running right now of, the Christian Okoye, the Earl Campbell type stuff where he's just big, bruising, physical, getting everything out of plays that don't have big openings. But I think there's yardage for him to be gained on some plays. And that's by making some people miss at the second level. I'm not saying that he needs to become Barry Sanders all of a sudden. I'm not saying that. But he can do, and there's another level he can achieve, because I saw it at LSU, to where he would give a little subtle moves and make guys miss at that second level and get even more yards. And I think that he's got more left to get. And I think we'll see more of that. You know, look, it's young player, learning the game, learning the speed of the game at the National Football League level, and he's got a lot of room that he can achieve as far as improvement.
Gary Danielson told us right after the draft, the analyst for CBS College Football, that Fournette reminded him of his old teammate in Detroit, Billy Sims, the Heisman Trophy winner.
That'd be a good comparison, yeah. Good comparison.
You know, similar running style.
Yeah, and we were talking about this for the last number of weeks prior to the game in Pittsburgh. You know, when are we going to see that breakout run? I said, look, it's coming. And the interesting thing is that when he gets out in the open field, he will show people how fast he is, because a lot of people haven't really seen how fast he is. Well, on that 90-yard run, you saw how fast he was. I mean, he's got game-breaking speed when he gets in the open.
There was a stat I saw online earlier this week, and I believe it was ESPN, but don't quote me on that. It was a reliable source that put this out. 22 miles an hour on the run. That was his highest speed, which is the highest speed of any ball carrier in the NFL this year. Think wow. about that. With all the fast guys around the NFL,
I didn't have a miles per hour gauge on him. Okay, from the radio booth,
you have a radar gun on
but,
him.
But I had one thing, and that was my eyes to tell me that the defenders were falling behind, and then eventually gave up, which means he's really fast.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know what number it is, but he's really fast.
He's real fast,
really fast.
Let's come back and figure out this home field advantage, Logs. How about it? The Jags get the Rams this week at EverBank Field. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Final moments of the Doug Marrone Show. If you're in Jacksonville on our flagship station, or if you're watching on Jaguars.com, Jaguars Thursday is next. Tony Boselli will join us from Charlotte, Bank of America Stadium, Thursday night football.
Be a good game tonight.
Yeah, it should
be a real good game. Carson Wentz now.
He can play. He can sling it around a little
bit.
He's
playing well.
Four touchdowns last week, I believe, for the Eagles.
Well, I mean, look, we get to watch him tonight.
Yes.
And then the one who was picked ahead of him on Sunday.
Rams, Jared Goff. That's coming right. in to EverBank Field. First Jags home game since week two, and that was a game in which the Jaguars fell off there in the second half and didn't finish the ball game at all, and Tennessee won that game big. That seems to have been a theme around EverBank Field the last few years. It seems now they haven't played well a lot of places,
yeah.
Logs.
Yeah, I was going to say,
don't get me wrong.
Hadn't been a whole lot of games won anywhere, really. But,
right. What is it? Why? How do you get it?
Well, good teams, play good football no matter where they go.
Yeah.
We hope that this team can kind of get back to winning games at home like this team did way back in its early years and did for a short stint, 07-ish, somewhere in there. And because Doug is right, when you talk about what the coach talks about with – every coach talks about with his team prior to the start of the NFL calendar year, they talk about the need to win at home. And this team needs to start winning at home for a lot of different reasons. One, that's how you get in the playoffs. That's how you win divisions. That's how you become a contender. But also, that's how you get your fans excited about your team. And that's important, very important, especially for, a fan base that hasn't had a lot of home moments to celebrate.
Yeah, you're right. They haven't. So that's happening this Sunday. 4:05 kick, by the way.
Yeah, which will be nice, hopefully the weather is good. I know that they had some predictions for maybe some thunderstorms on Sunday, but it's still early yet. We'll know more later, but it should be nice and cool at 4:00 kick as long as we don't get any of that.
That'd be nice.
No sun to contend with. You're not going to bake. The sun will create shade at 4:05.
I like that. We all like that. 4:05 kick is coming.
Well, the sun doesn't create shade. The stadium will have
Thank
shade
you,
as the sun is setting.
Thank you.
Don't want anybody to say that I'm a dumb guy,
well,
which I probably am.
Too late. Coming up, Jaguars Thursday. This is the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.